It's December 1st, 2011. This is the Hell Yeah Show. Hello and welcome to the Hell Yeah Show. I'm Alan.
I'm Emery.
And we are bringing you best practices for fine living, advice on how to not let technology ruin your day, Emery.
Why's it got to be a Cyber Monday?
So true. I don't know. Machinism.
Yeah, it's like a whole cyber week at Amazon this week.
This is ridiculous. We're going to talk about all this because this is actually on the show notes. Is Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
But yeah, it is ridiculous. I mean, first of all, Cyber Monday didn't used to be a thing.
No.
That was invented, and it's not by people. I mean that was invented by businesses,
of course.
And not because people wanted it, just because they could.
Well, yeah.
But it's all kind of good.
Like, yeah, we've also got a credit card fraud Tuesdays, and and buyer's remorse Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all your stuff shows up on Wednesday, and you realize how terrible it all is.
Hey, restocking fee Thursday.
I've never heard all of these. These are
yeah.
pretty good.
Yeah, well, like I said, or like you said, rather, the industry, they can create their own as they go.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Anyway, yeah, Black Friday followed by Cyber Monday. Let's take this from the start. let's talk some turkey here.
Yeah. You have turkey?
Yeah, I had three turkeys.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That sounds good.
Yeah, you know, it was good at the time. It was great at the time.
I got to have my stuffing that I really like. There's a restaurant in my dad's town. It actually burned. This is great. Well, okay, I should back up a little bit.
This is sounding really good. It's not burn in there.
Yeah, it's not great. But so the restaurant had a fire. And
that's hilarious.
It burned to the ground.
Yep.
So it was closed for like a year. And the chef that was there made this the stuffing. And it's like sausage and cranberry and the breadcrumbs and garlic and gouda and butter and butter and butter and
wow.
the sweet Italian sausage though is really what and apple.
Wow.
And it's phenomenal. And
that's
they don't
amazing.
Always have it. So then my stepmother actually found the chef because after the restaurant burned, there was even like, I guess, some sort of falling out or something. The chef left. And but my stepmom found the chef and actually had them prepare this big giant batch of this and
wow.
brought it to one of my sisters where we did Thanksgiving this year. And I could not have been happy. I was over the moon. And it's delicious.
That's pretty amazing.
I still have some. I worked on some tonight. And
God. So this is, well, I was going to tell the story later, but I cannot recommend eating leftover stuffing.
Why?
So I got food poisoning over the weekend.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun.
I bet.
And it was either from leftover stuffing, which was only about a day and a half old.
Ah, well. That window.
Did sit in the car for about 2 hours coming back from Thanksgiving.
Well.
Or the other option is veal tongue.
What?
Could have been that. So
I think maybe it's maybe it's God giving you a hard time for eating the tongue of a baby cow?
Yeah, that might be it. Anyway, I got food poisoning from one or the other of those two things. But regardless, I don't intend to make a regular habit of eating either leftover stuffing or veal tongue in the future.
Now, how was the stuffing prepared? Was it actually cooked inside a turkey?
Well, since there were three turkeys, I'd imagine they took at least one of them and cooked the stuffing inside of it.
Okay, see, that can be a problem.
Oh.
Because sometimes it's my understanding that cooking stuffing inside the turkey is kind of a dangerous game, from
really?
What I understand. Yeah, but I guess other people in your dinner would have also been sick.
Yeah, no, and it was just me. I'm pretty sure about that. So,
how about the tongue? Did anyone else eat tongue with you?
No,
that
no,
so dirty.
The tongue was my own to treasure.
Okay, so I think I'm gonna go tongue.
Okay, all right.
I am a doctor.
Yeah. Well, we know you're very meticulous about your
yeah,
your food safety habits.
And this is almost a week for the stuffing that I just had tonight. And I'm probably not going to be able to eat any more of it now that I've even heard a story about food poisoning.
Yeah, no.
But.
All right. But lots of other stuff happened over Thanksgiving. You've got – this is a very significant list here.
Well, okay. So
I mean not significant in length, but in the number of tech things you managed to do over Thanksgiving.
Yes. So a lot of nerds will appreciate this, that the holidays is everyone's time to call upon you to be their personal tech support. And sometimes I'm a little coy and, you know, just tell them to piss off. Other times I make some joke about how they can't possibly afford me. I did end up doing some support work this last week. One was one of my sisters recently had a baby, and she has a Blu-ray player that they rip DVDs to. Well, because they have like a USB hard drive. But at one point, we had like moving some music or something on there from one of my machines from a Mac, and it put like those little .dot files.
Yep.
All
yep.
over, you know, because if you plug it into a Mac, the Mac creates like these little DS file, DS store folders all over the place.
And you don't see them normally because they're all hidden.
Yeah, because they're .dot files. But when you then plug into like a Blu-ray player or something, they'll all show up first because they sort first because they start with a period. And my sister was convinced that like all of the stuff on the drive was magically now bad because she would try to like open it and then it would say that it failed or it couldn't be played. And she was all, what's happening? But it was just basically all these dot files. So my first task was to write a shell script that would traverse the file system of a USB hard drive and delete the dot files.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually, I actually had someone come to me with this exact problem. They had an MP3 player in their car that they plugged a USB stick into.
Right.
And the dot files would show up as songs.
Yeah.
They didn't like that.
Yeah.
And they said they'd go on their Mac and they'd actually delete the dot files on their Mac, but then the dot files would show up on the USB hard drive or on the USB drive itself.
The trick for that is that if Finder opens the directory, it recreates it. So if you plug in the drive and you just don't open it and you go in with terminal, then you're fine.
Observing it changes the result.
It's
Schrodinger.
Yeah, it's a quantum cat in a box.
Yeah, exactly.
Then the other thing was, mainly for laughs, I have a Plex media server running at my house, right? And so I did a little test and was able to successfully stream movies from my house over to my sister's place over my DSL, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
And it actually worked pretty well. I mean, it was not high definition or anything, but.
Right. Yeah.
But I was pretty impressed, to be frank. I liked it. And then, so that was kind of cool. And then I had an interesting issue with another family member at another Thanksgiving event. So there was one of my uncles was asking a question about his laptop, and another family member was offering some advice. And then they had my grandmother's laptop there, and they were going to demonstrate how this worked, but they couldn't get the laptop on the wireless. So I was kind of watching this for a little bit, and I offered my opinion, which was here was the issue, is that the laptop was not getting an IP address via DHCP.
Okay.
Now, other computers in the house that are on the same wireless are able to do it. So without guessing or without me telling you anything else, what do you think the problem could be?
The laptop is configured to use IPv6.
No, you're actually even close, but
no, I'm not.
But the discussion between one of my family members went something along the lines of, oh, well, maybe that's the wireless driver is corrupted. We'll have to go on to the website and download your drivers again and install that and see if that addresses anything or makes the problem go away. And this whole list of things that could be wrong. And I suggested
the laptop is configured with a manual IP address.
No.
They set
it for DHCP, but you'd go into IPconfig and it doesn't list anything.
Okay.
So my guess was that it wasn't actually on the wireless network.
Oh, that it wasn't... They hadn't actually connected it to the wireless network?
Yeah. That it hadn't even associated. So, one family member looked at the control panel and saw, like, the little gold star there. And I guess that means that Windows XP is successfully connected to a wireless access point. I don't know. But I said, I don't think it's connected. Because if it was connected, then you'd be able to... If you were associated with the access point, then you would have access to things on the network. Even if you couldn't go anywhere else, you would at least have an IP address it would self-assign.
Right.
So I was told this was ludicrous and completely insane. They're a computer professional, so they obviously would know more than me. But I did, however, ask my aunt to bring us the setup doc to make sure we were typing in the right password. And to make a long story short, we put the right password in, and everything was fine. And then this person proceeded to, like, dispute that you have to have the right password to connect to the wireless network to get an IP address, because it's completely irrelevant, because if you've got the gold star, that means you're associated, even though the password's wrong, which can't be the case. And yeah, rather than really argue it too much, I mean, I was thinking to myself, like, I wouldn't really get so mad about this. I mean, I was wrong once. Like, it wasn't really that big of a deal. I walked it off, right. And, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess in front of family, you're trying to prove that, you know, you're the...
I guess
you're the knowledgeable one.
I don't know. I mean, I try to, you know. The other story was that one of my siblings was asking about getting a Mac, and this other family member again was saying this was a ridiculous idea because they're expensive, and I was like, well, okay, like, a lot of things cost more than other things, and it's really just a matter of what you want to do with it, and I mean, especially these days, like, the old argument was, well, you know, it's not compatible with anything. And now that's...
Oh, man. Here's the thing. I mean, I used to think for the longest time, you know, oh, there's so many more applications available for Windows. But go on Windows and try and find an application to do something you want to do. Like, say, convert an audio file or you know, trim an audio file or something like that. And look at the – try and find the number of good applications and compare that to the number of good applications that do that same thing on
that's,
Mac.
That's the qualifier. So
yeah.
There might well be more software for Windows, but most of it was written in 1992.
And it installs like the Bing toolbar when you install it.
and a bunch of other crap.
Ads in your, you know, in the corner of the window when it runs.
They're just terrible. There is so much just absolute BS software out there for Windows. And I'm sure, I mean, there's bad software for the Mac too, but
sure.
There is a shocking amount of just absolute crapware that floats around out there. But anyways, someone was like, well, what antivirus do you have to use on your Mac? And I was like, well... None. I mean, you don't have to have antivirus on the Mac. And this family member was like, oh, come on. What are you talking about? There's viruses for the Mac. And I was like, yeah, there's two. And both of them require that you download the installer, double click it, and give it your password, and click through like a series of install pages. And then magically you've been compromised. Like there's a pretty far cry from one to the other. And I mean, you know, it's not like I don't do malware analysis and forensics for a living. It's like,
right.
You know, maybe, it just might be something that I might know a little bit about. I mean, I don't know a lot about anything, but I might know a little bit more about that. But yeah, so I did feel somewhat vindicated though. I mean, the argument though was that they knew someone that had a Mac that got a virus. So, mm-hmm. You know, anecdotes, not the singular form of data. But that amusing story about someone who is dense enough to like download the installer and click their way to greatness, you know, sure. It just seems like not really a supporting statement of, you know, Macs have tons of viruses or anything. Like,
yeah.
So it's it was that was my Thanksgiving. Lots of good food though.
Huh? Yeah. I guess I was. I mean, there are people in my family that are not particularly technically savvy, but I guess there are enough people that are technically savvy that I'm not the one that gets asked all of the technical questions all at once on Thanksgiving.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, one of my uncles kind of ends up doing a lot of stuff for my grandparents.
Uh-huh.
And then I have another, that other family member that kind of works in the biz. Also, I'm sure gets roped into a lot of stuff. But yeah, I managed to dodge a lot of it. Just, I don't know, I just shrug and be like, just hit the buttons and see what happens.
Yeah, don't
tell anyone you work with computers.
No. All right. Yeah. So
tell me about your pinball. You had pinball.
Huh? Pinball. Oh, pinball. Yes. My Thanksgiving was punctuated by, before the food poisoning, was punctuated by, 3 turkeys, one smoked, one fried, one baked.
Oh man.
I know.
You know, my father-in-law does a turkey. When he cooks turkey, he does it in a garbage can. He like does an all day smoke in a trash can upside down in the front lawn.
Wow, that's impressive.
It's so good. It's really good.
Yeah.
So fried? Is it like chicken fried turkey then?
It's a deep fat fried turkey.
Was it a turducken?
No. It's just an actual turkey.
So it wasn't like 3-in-1. This was 3 separate discrete birds.
There was one turkey that took up the entirety of the oven.
Ooh.
There was one turkey that was smoked in a new specially purchased, like recently acquired smoker, in the backyard.
Nice.
And there was one turkey that was deep fat fried at a neighbor's house.
Wow.
So yeah, my aunt and uncle do Thanksgiving big.
Yeah, they take it very seriously.
They get very serious about their turkey. Yeah, all right.
That's really cool. I've never had a fried turkey. I'm sure it's amazing.
It was very good. It's very flavorful. The smoked was fantastic as well, though. So. Anyway, and then they have a pinball machine in their basement's amazing.
That's awesome.
Their basement is, they've got a foosball table, a darts arcade machine, a pool table, media center. It's crazy. And a pinball machine, this old, haunted house pinball.
Oh, I know that game.
Yeah.
Is there like a giant clown? Not a giant clown, but, the thing in the middle, there's a, I'm thinking about this, Wait, maybe I'm not thinking of the haunted house.
Well, there's a lot of haunted house themed pinball games. There's
I'm thinking of one called Fun House, I think.
Okay. This one's it's got 3 levels, which is kind of good. And
nice.
And the best part is you can take because it's their pinball machine. You take the glass off the top, just like mess with it.
Does it tilt? Like if you does it freak out if you like?
It's got a tilt sensor. Yeah, nice. We tried. You tilt it and it complains. But you take off the glass and it doesn't know any better. So
that's cool. Did you get like a tile puller, like those big suction cups to yank it off?
No. I mean, it just like you snap off this little guard on the bottom and it slides right off. So,
oh wow.
Yeah. Anyway. And then I went to Disneyland on Friday.
Oh
yeah. The day after Thanksgiving, the prime day to Disneyland.
So for those that don't know this, I mean, you've written a book about this.
I've written 2 books about Disneyland, only one of which is really sort of about Disneyland in any capacity where anyone who is not in the park would want to read it. The second one is more of like in the park stuff for finding all these little hidden things.
You can plug your book. Come on.
Secretsofthemouse.com.
There you go.
All the information is there. Anyway, but because I wrote these books, I am forever the Disneyland tour guide among relatives, friends and family alike.
So you're like, instead of the guy that installs Windows, you're the guy that knows where all the mice are.
Exactly. So this was this was actually, I was going with people who knew the park pretty well. So it's not like I was leading them everywhere or anything like that. So it was more just, hey, Disneyland, why don't you come along? We were incredibly fortunate that in a lot of the ways we timed everything, because it could have been an incredibly hellish day at Disneyland, because day after Thanksgiving, that is, everyone's off of work, everyone's off of school. So
I like that photo album on Flickr that's like children crying at Disneyland.
Is there one?
Yeah, there's like just thousands of photos of upset, unhappy children at Disney. And it cracks me up.
Wow.
It's the Magic Kingdom.
It's the happiest place on earth.
There you go. Okay.
Anyway, and then Black Friday. That was actually, I was at Disneyland on Black Friday. frantically monitoring Amazon on my phone. And did you see the Amazon deal stuff at all?
No, I mean, a couple of things like on Monday. No.
So I have this theory that it was purposefully engineered to make things hard, like to make it hard on or make it tough for you to find the deal that you want.
Really?
Because I think when it's hard for like when you make it harder for the consumer for deals like that, I think they like when they find the deal, it's like a wow, you know, I got to this. This is. You know, this is something really special. I found this, and it's just in time. It hasn't sold out yet. Got to buy it. You know, I think it drives that mentality.
Well, there is a certain amount of that too. Like at the Black Friday stuff. Like, I mean, if you ignore the fact that people are pepper spraying each other like a bunch of wild animals, like there's this whole, you know, you get into the store and you get what you want, and then you realize that the line like wraps around the outside and. Everything's like been sold out and like you end up feeling like you need to buy something because you've waited all this time and you've been, you know, swinging your elbows. So they do kind of, they like to create this sense of urgency around, making a purchase of some sort, any sort.
That's, well, the way Amazon had these deals structured, and this was they went all the way through the whole Cyber Monday. I think it's still going this week. They'll probably extend it for the next month if they can, you see two deals at a time, and you start with the two oldest deals that haven't yet expired, and there are dozens of deals, right? And there are dozens that are open at one time, and there are even more than that each day, and you can click the right or left arrows to scroll through the deals, and you see them two at a time, and you go and so in order to get to the ones that are opening now, you have to scroll through like 10 pages. Of two deals at a time.
A six pack of socks.
Right, yeah. Stuff that just you don't care about. And to finally get to the ones that you might care about. And then I think the idea is once you're there, it's like, oh, I'm here. You know, I better buy it.
I made it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I bought not that many. I bought two things. I bought an LED flashlight and a copy of Forza Motorsport 4. So...
I have an LED flashlight that I got at a swap Christmas thing last year.
Yeah?
It's really good.
How many lumens?
I don't know, two? No, it's I don't know how bright it is, but it's bright enough.
Two would be very, very dim.
I'm aware. I mean, like, most projectors are, like, you know, 2,000, right?
Yeah. I think mine is, like, 500.
I have no idea the lumen count, but so. I know that it's bright enough and very reliable.
All right, good. Anyway, did you pick anything up?
Oh, hell no.
No? Yeah.
No. I don't do that.
Yeah? Really?
No. I Thanksgiving is a wonderful, magical time of year where you're thankful for what you have, and then the following day is where you bitch and scream and throw a fit because you don't have enough.
Exactly.
I hate that. I don't.
Oh, it's a great dichotomy.
I don't participate in that.
How can you appreciate one without the other?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I find a way. I played some video games that we'll talk about later, and hung out with my wife.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of things that we are thankful for, Arrested Development.
Oh, I'm so happy about that.
I'm very thankful for Arrested Development.
Next. New season coming to Netflix directly in 2013.
That's too long. That is too far away from now.
They gotta write them, and it's gotta be good.
Okay.
It's like I've been waiting for Mad Men too, and you know it's gonna be good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, they gotta take their time and do it right.
Yeah, I don't know how this affects the movie though.
So my understanding was it was a TV show and a movie on Netflix.
Okay.
But I could be wrong about that. It's been a while since I read this article. What we do have confirmed, right, is 2013, we will see a new run of episodes of Arrested Development. It's true. We will, this is, from Michael Bateman. It's true. We will do 10 episodes and the movie. Okay. Probably shoot them all together next summer for a release in early 2013. Very excited.
So the is the premise of the episode still that they're going to like follow around, like each episode will be about one of the members of the Bluth family?
I think that was the...
That was the original plan.
Let's see.
Well, you know. Yeah.
And let me read this article on the air. And then we can all get back on track here. I love this. I said Michael Bateman earlier, didn't I? His name is Jason Bateman.
Yeah, and his sister's Justine.
His character is Michael Bluth.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about one of the writers, and I was just like, oh.
No, Jason Bateman I'm talking about, but right. I confused him with his character. Netflix is gassing up the stair car. I don't think I've ever been happier to wear a pair of khakis. Yep. And also, if you go to the article we have linked in the show notes, two of the best clips from Arrested Development can be found there.
Fantastic.
There is the chicken dance. And they have the whole family, though. They do the whole family chicken dance. And then Tobias, Mrs. Doubtfire, which I completely forgot.
It's not Mrs. Doubtfire, though.
It's...
Well...
I mean, well, okay, it's Mary Poppins.
No!
But...
Well, Mrs. Featherbottom is the name of the character.
Yeah, but it's
clearly supposed to be Mrs. Doubtfire, but...
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I think the name that he comes up with is so much better. Mrs. Featherbottom. And I liked at one point when Maybe calls him Mr. Fingerbottom. And he says,
that episode.
Mrs. Yeah, it's great. That's a good show.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Oh, man. I'm putting a reminder to myself to watch the Mrs. Featherbottom episode.
Oh, well, there's a whole series of them. I mean, he's... yeah, I mean, that's a character for like half a season.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, because it's when Tobias is trying to, you know,
trying to get back with his family.
Yeah. Yeah. And nobody knows.
Right. And they just kind of let him do his
thing. Yeah. And everyone's just kind of playing along. And he's convinced that he's like such a solid. He's just really pulling it off. And they have no idea. And at one point where he's like, no, Michael, it's me. It's Tobias.
So it's a great show. And what do you make of this the Netflix exclusivity though? How's this all going to work out?
I don't know. I like it.
I like it too because I'm a Netflix subscriber.
Yeah, people are going to be. That is actually no kidding. A big enough deal that people will sign up for Netflix just to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like. I mean, why wouldn't you? Like, if you're a fan of the show in particular, I mean, that it's gonna be a big deal.
I mean, $9 a month to watch new Arrested Development is not a ridiculous proposition for a longtime Arrested Development fan.
Not at all. And you know what? I hope something. This is actually one of those things where, it's a show that had good enough reviews. The critics liked it. It didn't have necessarily as big of a following.
When it aired.
Among viewers, yeah. I mean, like, it was a cult show, right? It's the same thing that happens with, like, you know, Community or other shows that are really good and the people that like it really like it and there's a lot of inside jokes and you're really rewarded for paying attention to it and watching it. But it's hard to get some new people in. But this is a big enough deal that it'll kind of set the tone, I think, for how other shows treat things like Netflix or Amazon Prime or other... or Hulu, you know, I think depending on how well this does and how much money it can make, it could have an impact on the way that TV works.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I mean,
definitely.
That's definitely kind of a bold statement to make, but I don't see why it wouldn't have an impact.
No, and combine this with like you see, I know Sony has shown interest and has pursued developing original content just for people who are PlayStation owners. Or, you know, our PlayStation Plus subscribers. And I think Microsoft and Xbox has done similar stuff with, you know, providing original content to Xbox Live members. You know, the idea of subscribing to some, you know, subscription service that maybe used to just deliver existing content, but now that service actually is able to finance new content that's relevant to its subscribers, to its existing subscribers and potentially new ones. You know, that's an interesting model.
Well, and you know Apple's watching this really closely, too.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'd love to see Apple make a TV show.
Well, I mean, they don't have to make a TV show. They just have to distribute it.
Right, yeah, yeah. No,
I mean, I bet Netflix is probably more willing to to play ball and negotiate a bit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, especially given their recent turmoil. I mean, you know, they need something to pick them back up at this point.
Couldn't have come at a better time for Netflix.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know that Arrested Development. It's super important to us and the people we hang out with.
My prediction.
Yeah.
Is that the quarter that this show starts, Netflix will gain 200,000 subscribers.
Okay. We're gonna hold you to that.
All right, make a note.
All right. Emery predicts plus 200,000 subscribers. Is that an additional 200,000 over what they would have already gained?
I think Netflix will say that. Well, I don't know, because I don't know what their usual metrics are. But I expect Netflix to have a statement at some point in the quarter that Arrested Development airs, where they say that they gained 200,000 subscribers and attribute it to the show.
Wow. Okay.
That's my prediction. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I think it'd be really
breaking news.
We're pretty good.
Analyst confirms Netflix will gain 200,000 subscribers.
we have a fairly decent track record in making these types of weird predictions.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We predicted the 7-Eleven thing at Amazon.
We did. Yeah.
And we predicted the Kindle thing. Well, to some extent. We hypothesized was accurate.
We were going off of existing rumors.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know that we were really.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Did we predict the demise of Quickster? I forget about that. If we did that or not. I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't think anyone expected it to last, though.
No. All right. Well, but that is very exciting news. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
It's going to be very good.
I'm way excited. Anyon.
Yep. Yep.
You know that's the name of my iPhone, right?
Think about what?
You know that the name of my iPhone is Anyang.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, the name of mine is...
Assplay.
No, all of my devices are named after Tron characters.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I think it's funny.
It is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Do you have an MCP?
My wireless hotspot is called the Grid.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You told me about this.
Yeah. I think I sent you the list at some point.
Yeah, you did. I don't think I got it.
It's a good list.
Right now, my computers are in between two naming schemes. One is Socialites, and the other is the Bluth family.
I vote for the latter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of working out better. But the wife likes Simpsons stuff, so like... She has a Blinky, a Stampy, mainly animals from The Simpsons.
Sure.
And we have Geech, who is I think Geech was a dog owned by Cletus that got trapped in cement when they built a dam in Springfield.
That's getting really down into the Simpsons trivia. Wow.
Yeah. One of her hard drives is Snowball 2.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah.
It's good. All right. Well, speaking of your phone, your phone and mine,
our phone.
We wanted to talk a bit. What's that?
Our phone.
Yeah. the O phone.
Yeah.
We wanted to talk a bit about mobile, as a topic area. There's a lot of recent stuff in mobile that has come up to our attention, which I am going to pretend to understand, and Emery is going to explain to you.
Well, you understand perfectly. So,
well, the first of these is Ting.com.
Yeah. So Ting is a new venture from the Two Cows people. And Ting, their goal is they want to let people lower their wireless bill by being a little more creative and flexible on how people buy service. And so essentially, they're kind of rolling themselves out as an MVNO, which is like a mobile virtual network operator. So... Are you familiar with, you've been in like a Best Buy and you've seen Virgin Mobile?
Yep.
Virgin Mobile in the United States is essentially Sprint.
They do not own their own cell towers.
No.
Yeah.
So they sign an agreement and they provide service that they get through Sprint. And so Ting is going to do something similar to this. Well, they already are. I mean, there's like a beta going on right now. But they kind of let you be very flexible on your pricing so that you're not overbuying your minutes or your messages or your data service. And in fact, if you underutilize, then you get a refund. So you kind of pay for what you're using, which is kind of smart. And they kind of wrap their service and their branding and their attention to clients. And it's actually a very promising service. And I think it's definitely worth watching. I like their approach a lot because it leverages an existing operator. And as they kind of get some more support from people that make handsets, that'll be great. I mean, I really, really like the iPhone a lot. They have a couple of Android devices and some other handsets that they're working on. But, yeah, I mean, who's to say? But I like that there's a lot of the things that mobile operators are really good at, and there's a lot of things that they're really bad at. And most of them try to be kind of the end-to-end, cradle-to-grave owner of everything. So I kind of like the idea of someone else kind of intervening and letting people be a little more flexible and a little more frugal. I mean, their average, I think their average savings per year is like $800.
Wow.
That's no small deal. Like, that's, person. So if you're like a household, for example, you might be able to even get something even better. But it's very easy for people to overpay and overbuy their service. And I mean, they've got a web blog where you can kind of see what they're about and what their philosophy is and everything. But I'm really optimistic for Ting, and there's also one called Republic Wireless also. They have a slightly different approach, though, in that they want you to use voice over IP with Wi-Fi almost all the time, which you could do with, you know, other devices too, but their service is specifically built to kind of use the cellular networks as a roaming mechanism, which I'm kind of into. I think that's kind of a cool way to look at it. And I mean, the Ting people also on their website, like, they're saying, you know, you're buying unlimited data, quote unquote. Have I told you about my unlimited data fiasco?
I'm guessing
AT&T thing. I have an unlimited AT&T wireless data plan. Well, I have two, actually, because my
wife has. Are they capping your speeds or something?
No. But I've done the math and figured out that the service that I get, it would be impossible for me to exceed the 2 gigabyte a month plan. Even if I drop down to that plan with the speeds that they give me.
Wow.
Like, because I get connections sometimes that are less than a megabit. Actually, frequently, almost all the time, it's less than a megabit download and upload. It's usually like 400K is what they're giving me most of the time. And I pay these asswipes like, so much money. It kills me. So, you know, I've tried to figure it out. And the only reason I haven't like dropped down is because, like, you know, what happens if... And I'm in that situation, and I think I need to just bite the bullet and do it. But, you know, if I had a plan with Ting, it wouldn't be a problem because, if I go over, I would still be paying the same rate, that I would even if I had like prepaid. Like it's a very slight discount. It's not, they don't really stick it to you like, other operators do, where if you have like a 2 gig plan and you use like, you know, 2.5, they charge you for like 10, you know, and that's kind of like the common practice, right? Like they're like, oh, you went over. Like if you go over, God help you. It's not like they just turn you off. They just say, okay, well, we start the timer and now you're paying 300%. So Ting don't play that. And, Republic Wireless has a different model. Like we said, I mean, they want you to leverage Wi-Fi stuff. And
makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, we've had this conversation before. I think that in my particular situation, that works really well because I have almost ubiquitous Wi-Fi during the day, and in the evening too, I guess. But like my ride to the office, my office around town, I have access to Wi-Fi almost 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason why I could probably really drop down on the data plan. But then, like, you know, obviously when you leave town, that's when you really need that service. And then, you know, part of me is also like, well... half the time doesn't work right anyway. So I don't know what my long-term strategy will be here, but it's definitely something that people are looking at, even if the mobile operators aren't. And I know like the AT&T T-Mobile thing is still up in the air, and so they're kind of trying to – they're posturing on, you know, suing people and telling the FCC that they can't tell them what to do and blah, blah, blah. But and the other thing to this, too, is that Steve Jobs was, I guess, talking about wanting Apple to be a wireless carrier. And this was something that, you know, I talked about and you talked about also like a while ago, where part of my hypothesis of like, you know, it's possible that some people in a situation like mine could have an iPod and be fine.
Right.
Like, yep. you wouldn't need a cell phone. Like, you, if you have access to data through Wi-Fi, there's a lot of options already for doing voice over IP. And then you have things like Google Voice, and you've got Skype, and you've got FaceTime. And, you know, like, there's this whole convergence thing that's going on there for combining services. Even if you don't have something like really polished, like what Apple or a Microsoft or somebody like that would probably want to deliver, you can kind of get there yourself with these third party stuff, you know? But I guess this, Apple was at one point, or probably still is, this whole concept of something that they were kind of, you know, referring to as AppleNet. But, there's also been some talk for, some of the liberation tech people. There's, a couple of mailing lists I follow for, privacy and, you know, digital law stuff. And one thing that's been interesting is people talking about these mesh networks where they're trying to come up with ways to create peer-to-peer voice and messaging services that leverage the other devices near you to reach other devices.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's also, you know, like an internet component to that too, sure. So there's a lot of work being done there. And I think, I mean, it is unbelievable what's going to happen in this industry within 10 years. Like, there's literally like 100 outcomes that could come out of all of this.
Is this Emory prediction time again?
No.
I'm
not anywhere close to that. I mean, this is all like starry eyed. I'm still like, this is all fantastic Star Wars, Star Trek, Deanna Troi's got a camel toe stuff. Like, this is, there's so much cool stuff that could be happening in this space. Like, I can't even think about one thing in particular for more than 30 seconds. It's very exciting. And, I mean, this week also, there was that Carrier IQ thing. This has been a really busy time for mobile stuff.
Yeah, on the less exciting side of mobile.
Oh, it's still exciting.
Okay, it's exciting in perhaps different ways, yeah.
And exciting, terrifying. So there's software called Carrier IQ that's been, that gets put into mobile phones. And ostensibly, it's so that, you know, the operator can be notified of service issues and get some general usage statistics and metrics over their subscribers. There's a lot of problems with it, though, has been discovered within the last couple of weeks in particular. One researcher was actually kind of reverse engineering how Carrier IQ works in order to kind of understand it on Android devices. And I guess it's, I mean, a lot of the Samsung and HTC devices have, well, a lot of handsets have it implemented in some way, shape, or form. But the Samsung and HTCs, I guess, have an especially extensive implementation where it actually does things like record keystrokes. And it also can do things like record your voice while you're talking to someone on the phone. It can actually like archive the phone call for you.
Read text messages and
read text messages, the body of messages, emails. This guy logged into PayPal on his Android device, and like it sends his username and password in plain text.
Wow!
So like you go to a secure website, right? This is absolutely ridiculous. So you go to a secure website and you're using HTTPS to send your stuff in a secure manner to the server, but meanwhile this thing is like stabbing you in the back and sending out this data in plain text to a reporting server somewhere. And the Carrier IQ people, their initial response to this was to like press charges against the guy and like and hit him with a suit. And they were like, you know, you can't talk about our product like this, blah, blah, blah. Like they completely, this is like that whole SOPA thing, right? This is all relevant to this because an independent researcher tries to figure out how something works because they might not believe that the company doesn't activate these features and that is not capable of doing these things. And then when someone actually does the research and figures out that they are lying, then they sue to get them to shut up. And for example, if SOPA was law, then they could shut down this dude's website. They could redirect all the traffic somewhere else and people would never even know this was a problem. Like they could effectively silence this person from releasing their research because they could go after and shut off any outlet that they could have to publish this. So there's been this whole back and forth, though, and they've since backpedaled once the EFF got involved. Then they were like, oh, okay. maybe we shouldn't be colossal D-bags about this.
Yeah, the EFF actually has influence and money.
Yeah.
And lawyers.
Yep. And, you know, and they're a good organization. Worthy of support, without a doubt.
Yes.
But, so it's not clear yet which devices are using this and to what extent. The iPhone has hooks for Carrier IQ in older versions of iOS and I believe current ones, but apparently it has to be like in diagnostic mode before it kicks on. Whereas a lot of the Android and Nokia devices just have it going full tilt all the time, or the details of it really depend on a variety of factors. One, the handset and the manufacturer, and then also what firmware is running and what operator you're using. So something like this is very commonplace in some respects, in that operators traditionally have controlled very tightly the software on the phone, which is also why there's so many abandoned orphaned Android devices, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. There's just, as new devices come out, the operator stops supporting the old ones, and then they don't deploy code updates or OS updates or patches. So not only are you not able to run current software, but you're also running vulnerable software in some cases. And the operator is the party that claims responsibility for maintaining the software and doesn't let people sideload or otherwise maintain their own device. And then that's why it was such a big deal for Apple to retain that control when working with AT&T or with Singular originally, but AT&T and the other operators today, where when you have a software update, you're getting it from Apple, not the mobile operator. You're not getting an over-the-air OS from your mobile operator. You get it directly from the vendor. And, I mean, even if you disagree with Apple's philosophy and you think that they're heavy-handed and whatever, there's something to be said for the fact that they still support their current devices a lot better than any mobile operator ever has. I mean, there's no operator in the world, as far as I'm concerned, that comes anywhere close. I mean, I come from my mobile device history includes, importing a lot of devices from Europe. They do it too. It's like the mobile operators aren't the only people that stiff you. It's also people like Nokia that don't ship an OS update for a device that's like 3 months old. And then they've released a dozen new devices, but they don't support the ones that they just sold you for $1,000, I might add. Like, I think my N95 was somewhere north of $750. And
wow.
Oh, that's not the most expensive one that I've ever bought. Like, I had a Sony Ericsson P910. They were okay about it. The N95, what else do I had? I had an N90 too. But yeah, like, it's a longstanding tradition of like sticking it to you. Like, they just, it's not a business that they're really good at. And people give Apple a hard time too. And people that like their products are like, well, anytime they release a new anything, you got to go out there and buy it. And I'm like, well, keep in mind, it's been over a year since the last phone, so it's not like they're doing this every 3 months. And they still support the old one, and they all still work. So, there's a big difference, but that's my shilling for Apple thing. But, I think, I don't know if there's going to be like a backlash or anything against devices that use this. I do think that people need to come clean about how they're using it and what information they're getting from people and what they're doing with it, because I think they're selling it.
Sure. Or even if they're just using it for internal purposes.
Not only are you paying these guys like $30 a month for an unlimited data plan that you can't possibly leverage, but they're then turning around and selling your usage information to other people. They're making so much money off of consumers and not getting any of that savings back to you. Like, the text messaging thing, they charge a disproportionately high fee for a text message over any other form of data that leaves your phone.
And yet the text messages actually help them.
Yes, because the more text messages you send and the fewer phone calls and other data services that you use, the more people they're able to put on that spectrum. But they make you pay a premium to help them. It's just, it blows my mind. And it's like, I'd actually be fine. I'm fine with them selling my information if I see a benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see a benefit from it right now. It's like the insurance companies that are like, you know,
you don't even see it at all. You don't even know it's happening.
Oh, yeah. In this case, most people aren't going to even know that it's happening. But the, I think some of the insurance companies are letting you put like a tattletale device in your car, right? So it can like monitor how safe you drive. And they give you, in exchange for this information, which is probably exceptionally valuable, I think they're giving people like a $10 break on the price.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is absurd for the value that they're that they are getting from their customers having this gizmo in their car. This could potentially save them billions of dollars, and they're letting you get by on a $10 thank you. Which yeah. I think the
average person doesn't understand the value of their data. You know,
that's very true. That's very true. Yeah.
That may be a trend we see change fairly soon.
I would be delighted to see people show more interest in the value of their information. I mean, especially when, you know, like Apple and Google are doing things like, you know, retaining network information. The Siri stuff, you know that they're like data mining what people are looking for and generating some metrics off of that.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, there's a lot going on that, you know, they really just people need to be a little cognizant of, I think, and maybe understand that it's not always in their best interest to participate in some of that. But yeah, I don't know. We'll be definitely keeping an eye on the Carrier IQ thing at least. I wonder if we could get someone to talk about Ting from Ting or Public Wireless. I mean, we're not really a big show, but we actually know some people on the Ting side.
Oh, well. We got all the connections.
Well, I don't know about that, but we might be able to. I don't know.
Huh?
Who knows? We had a guest last week. We need to have John back on again sometime because
John was awesome. That was
a good show.
That was cool having him on. Yeah, that was good.
I had a funny story too. This morning, the new one of my new hard drives had a 1 terabyte Seagate just completely eat itself. And my ZFS pool, it's mirrored, so you know I didn't even notice. It was like just pure chance. I just happened to take a look at them this morning, and I was like, "Oh, disk failed." Like, yeah. So I got to RMA that guy, but we'll have to have John again, and maybe for some more TV stuff.
Cool. Okay, and then final topic of today, we've got some video game updates.
Busy month.
It's been crazy because this is the time when all the video games come out because they want people to buy them for Christmas, and people do.
Yeah.
So the first one we're talking about here is Star Wars The Old Republic, which comes out, I think, like 3 days before Christmas or something like that.
First of all, I'm hearing some artifacting on your end. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. So The Old Republic comes out, I think the due date's the 20th, but people that have been testing, I think if they buy it early, they can play on the 15th, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
But it's a good game.
Well, I mean, so you say it's a good game because you like WoW.
I do like WoW. I like WoW a lot, and I also love Star Wars. So keep in mind that I love Star Wars, and I love Knights of the Old Republic. I loved even the Battlefield games, or Battlefront, is that what it's called?
Yep.
It was like a...
Yep.
Yeah,
Battlefront. Star Wars Battlefront.
I thought those were great games. Not so into some of the other ones, but Star Wars The Old Republic can be played like a Knights of the Old Republic... If you hide the chat box, I mean, you can pretty much ignore a lot of the multiplayer stuff. If you weren't interested in any of that or in-game stuff or battlegrounds or dungeons and raiding and in-game stuff at all, and you just wanted to like play through each of the storylines and everything, you probably could. I certainly haven't played it enough to know even what happens at the end, but I will say that I love the look of it. I love the system that they're using. Visually, it's gorgeous. Some of the people playing it are just hideously bad. Like the starter zones are full of people that I think either this is their first computer game ever or certainly their first multiplayer game. Cause like there are dudes that are just like dying to the level one, like moths that are flying around. I mean, there's like, you know, the boar. So someone goes outside and they're looking at a boar and they walk up to the boar and the boar is like, you know, chewing on them while they're trying to figure out how to talk to it. and there's people dying all over the place. But it's a really cool game. And I like the classes. I like the visuals. This is also one of the... I love that you can... There's a wide variety in body type for your player models.
Huh. Okay.
So you can be like a really super rotund dude that's like, you know, almost fat bastard level if you want to be. And then now admittedly on the lady side, they don't quite go to that extreme, but I will say that my Sith Inquisitor has a rather Beyonce-esque badonkadonk. And she is lovely.
All right.
But I love the game. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it'll do really well. Okay. I mean, there's Bobby Kotick, I guess, was quoted recently. He was saying that they're not going to make much money on this, because, and he's the guy from Activision Blizzard. So he's like, you know, trying to downplay the Old Republic, saying like, well, you know, the Lucas franchise, the Star Wars franchise, they're such huge fees. They're probably not going to be able to make any money on it. It's not a threat, blah, 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 blah. So, but they also like rushed out their patch this week too, because World of Warcraft had to come out with the 4.3 content patch this week. Probably a little ahead of schedule. It's good. New five-man stuff is good. The looking for raid thing, I'm not too sure about. I mean, the new dungeon, the Demon Soul thing or Dragon Soul thing, seems to be kind of a joke though. Like, over 600 guilds have already cleared it on normal mode. And it's, you know, Thursday.
That is unfortunate.
Huh. Yeah. So hopefully the hard modes are like legitimately hard or something, because apparently normal mode is kind of a cakewalk. The looking for raid stuff though, they take the Dragon Soul content and then kind of dumb it down and nerf it a bit, and you can kind of ignore most of the mechanics. And essentially
that
just
sounds lovely.
Yeah. Man. Well, it's a 25 man multi-realm pug. And it has to be a little bit easy because, you know, people are really terrible. But you get essentially the same loot, except, you know, different item levels, so the lower stats and everything. But it'll be good. I'll definitely be playing that. I'll give the looking for raid stuff a good couple of weeks of play. But the cool thing about it though is you can do it. It's not on a locked ID. So you can do the looking for raid dungeon as many times as you want, but you can only see loot from the boss once per week.
I think we've probably lost
anyone
in our audience that does not speak WoW.
That's true. I wasn't even thinking. I was trying to convince you
that you should
check it out.
We'll do that after the show.
Uncharted 2, however, for the PlayStation 3, unbelievable. I cannot wait to play Uncharted 3.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
Uncharted 2 is absolutely amazing. I am having the best time playing it. Yep. I don't even know. I've got to be towards the end now, but my favorite part so far, there's like this long extended train sequence.
Well, that's everyone's favorite part. Yeah,
that is amazing. And then there's one of the Tibetan temples that you're down, like with the, you gotta take the knife, and there's like this whole golden child moment. kind of like, it's awesome. It's a lot like playing, so far it's been like playing an 18-hour Indiana Jones movie.
That's exactly what it's meant to be. Yeah,
it is beautiful, and the gameplay is fantastic. Like the controls are good. I'm having a really good time now. I think I'm playing it on the normal or easy mode because I'm not really well coordinated for that kind of thing. I hate. I don't like gunfights in that third person perspective.
Sure,
I'm really bad.
Yeah.
So this game, however, does a really good job with it. I'm having the best time, and I couldn't thank you enough for the recommendation. And I was able to get it on Amazon for like $9.
Yeah, no, it's got to be everywhere. It was such a popular game. So.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's good.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
What are you playing?
So I've been playing, well, not much actually, because Thanksgiving was hectic, and I was in San Diego, so I didn't have my my PC. And now it is finals. So that's fun stuff. But if I were to play something, that something would either be The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim or Battlefield 3.
Skyrim
both
looks
of which
awesome.
Are amazing. Yeah, Skyrim, I mean, I prefer Skyrim, but Battlefield 3 surprised me, actually, by how competent it was. How really, really well executed on all fronts that game was. But Skyrim is just blows everything away.
Is it true there was like a content patch for it this week or something, 1.2, that like wrecked some resistance mechanic? Is that true?
So, I haven't read anything about that yet, mostly because I'm not that advanced or far along in the game itself. You know, I'm maybe like, I don't know, 8 hours in, something like that, which of course is like a full game, but in Skyrim, that's just getting started. So,
okay.
But I do know that in the content patch, or not content patch, but in the bug fix patch, one of the things they are fixing is it's great. Their change list is fantastic. Look at some of the things on there are hilarious. One of them is dead characters will no longer appear at the player's wedding, or will no longer attend the player's wedding.
All right. Okay, that's kind of a continuity error, maybe.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's just like, I mean, that makes you think about the systems that are in place in that game. That
sure.
There's first of all, there's the potential for a player wedding, and not only that, but other characters are attend that wedding in a dynamic enough way that it's possible for someone who has died to be called up for that wedding. Like, you know,
I think. I mean,
they're supposed to be there.
There was in Dragon Age, I think the only reason that my wife was playing that game is to see how many people in the game she could bang. Like, they have like this whole like series of interpersonal relationships that you can have throughout that game. Is Skyrim
I
mean, like,
I was surprised by the number that were possible in Dragon Age.
Oh, she's banging.
In Skyrim, I'm not that far into it. Don't really know yet.
I mean, is it something that you think people didn't play the other ones? Like, I mean, I played Morrowind for like half an hour and I didn't like it because it looked bad and it wasn't fun.
Mm-hmm.
Is this?
No, I think you could just pick this up. And actually, if you're going to pick up one of these games, this is the one to pick up.
Sure.
I mean, you know, if you've looked at Fallout, if you've looked at, Oblivion, if you've looked at these Bethesda Softworks games, this open world, really dynamic, really, you know, do what you want to do.
Is it first person?
RPGs. It can be first person. It plays really well as first person, plays okay as third person.
Hmm.
But if you've looked at these games and said, you know, this looks kind of interesting, but, you know, you never really got into it, this would be the one to get into. This is by far the most refined, by far the most interesting, entertaining, massive. They really went all out on this one. So, yeah.
I might have to give it a try then. Everyone, I mean, seriously, like anyone that's been playing it, that's all they talk about.
Yeah.
We had a party a couple weeks ago.
It will consume you. And that's why I've been careful about it, because I've got other things to do first.
Sure. Yeah. Don't flunk out.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is that's our video game roundup. Lots of good stuff happening, and I may have to buy The Old Republic. That'd be actually a fun thing to play over break on my laptop.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, we'll see.
I'm probably gonna do the pre-order thing so we can play on the 15th, because we're gonna be traveling through part of the holiday. So I think it'd be good.
I may have to do that.
We might just get all one account though, because we've only got one machine in the house, I think, that can really realistically play it. Because it does. Yeah. I mean, it's Windows only, and the MacBook Airs aren't going to play it, and the iMac probably isn't. So it's probably going to be my guy.
Yep. All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of the Hell Yeah Show. You can email us at show@hellyeah.com with all your complaints and suggestions. The website is show.hellyeah.com. And
on the Twitter machine, you can find us at Hell Yeah Show, twitter.com/HellYeahShow.
All right. Very good. Sorry for the delayed show this week. We will hopefully get back to a more normal schedule very soon. We typically want to record these on Mondays. So without any further ado, we will see you next week.
Work hard and stay in school.